It starts early, doesn't it? We want other people's things. Selfishness, and parents, you know this, selfishness comes pre-installed on these new human beings as they are born. We are born selfish. That comes with us. And you don't have to train your children to be selfish. That comes with the whole ball of wax. Now, along with the disputes that come is apologizing and saying you're sorry. Don't you love how that one twin patted his brother on the head afterwards? I'm going to push you down and, you know, put you in your place, and then I'm going to pat you on the head. And that's a part of it. It's the apologizing. And the saying, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. But I don't know about you. Are there people in your life that you are like, how many times am I gonna forgive you for the same thing? Are you never gonna learn? You ever get frustrated with people? You ever say to yourself, now this is the last time I'm ever going to forgive them? Have you ever said that? I have. It's like I'm so tired of doing that over and over and over again. And this is the last time. Well, you know who else felt like that? The Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. He felt like that. And he was, while Jesus was there, he wanted to ask Jesus, like, how many times? And so the passage in Matthew 18, verse 21, says, then Peter came and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And you might think, well, Peter, you're kind of skimpy there, aren't you? But here's the deal. At that time, the leader said three. Three times. How many of you, like myself, would go, oh, man, that would be such a relief if it's only three times? There's people I've asked more than three times to forgive me, so I'm grateful. But Peter was like, oh, most people say three. I'm gonna say seven. And so Jesus would say, oh, Peter, you are so generous. But what did Jesus say? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. And for those of you who aren't great with math, that's 490 times. And there are some of you who are like, okay, somebody can come to me. Okay, that's 469. Next time, it's the last one. Is that what Jesus is saying? You get to that line and then you can stop forgiving. Wouldn't that be great? You can say, oh, now I'm done with that. I don't like to do that. But it was the attitude. It's the attitude of I'm just going to keep on forgiving. Keep forgiving others. That's what Jesus was saying in that passage. Keep forgiving others. Next slide. So we keep forgiving. And what was Peter asking? You know, I'm just tired of forgiving other people. And we need to keep forgiving others, even though forgiving is no fun. It is no fun to forgive. You know what's fun? Do you know what's fun? Revenge. We all like revenge. Do you like revenge? Oh, I like revenge. Good. No lightning has struck so far. But don't you? There's this thing where something happens and you think, oh man, wouldn't it be great? And you run through scenarios in your brain and it's like, oh yeah, and I'm going to get them back and everybody's going to watch and it's going to be great, right? Because I've thought about revenge, but why do we need to keep forgiving others? Because revenge never ends well. Revenge never ends well. We think we are hurting the other person, and we hurt ourselves. I think that's illustrated best by these guys. These guys, I think, were even on TV before I was born. Their names were Amos and Andy. You remember hearing about them? And so Andy, when he would come up to Amos, would stomp, you know, smack him on the chest, and he didn't like that. And so Andy was talking to his friend Kingfish, and he said, "I'm going to get Amos back. What's he want? He wants revenge." And he opens up his coat, and he's got sticks of dynamite taped to his chest. And he said, "The next time he thumps me on the chest, it's going to blow his hand off." So, that's what revenge looks like. We think we're going to get somebody else back. And what do? We injure ourselves more in the process. So many medical issues, so many health issues come when we don't forgive and we hold on to things that have been done to us. Now, I got to explain forgiveness. Forgiving is not forgetting. We tend to think, well, you have to put your hands on your hips when you say this. I can never forget what they did to me. Okay. But we're not told to forgive or to forget. Because you can't forget. You know, I got a little tongue-tied doing the announcements. Forget that. Can you strike that from your memory? No, you're not going to strike that from your memory. You're going to write that down and remind me of it in 5 years. Again, remember that. We can't forget. Forgiving is not forgetting. And so we get the two confused, and people say, "I don't think I can ever forgive because I keep remembering it." And we, this morning, are going to give you some tools to help you with that. But forgiving means not holding an offense against them. See, here's the cool thing. When somebody does something wrong to you, you get to hold that against them. And you hold it over their head. And you say, "Remember when you did that? Remember when you did that? Remember? Ah!" And there was a couple, they were going to a marriage counselor, and they were having issues in their marriage, and the husband was talking to the counselor. He said, "Yeah, and then every time we have an argument, she gets historical." And the counselor corrects him. He said, "You mean hysterical?" "No, I mean she gets historical." She said, "Remember when you did that, and then you did that, and remember when you did that?" That's a lack of forgiving. She's holding that offense against her husband. Remember that? Remember that? And forgiving means I'm not going to hold that against them anymore. So, Jesus tells a story about why we need to forgive. Because it's no fun. But it's necessary, and Jesus explains why it's necessary, and he tells a story. And the story Jesus told made sense to the people 2,000 years ago. And he used terms that they used 2,000 years ago. And because this is Children's Sunday, I thought it'd be good to tell a story that kids will understand. And adults, please feel free to understand as well. So, the story is about a young man named Robert. One hot summer afternoon, he went swimming with his friends down at the pond, and they were having a lot of fun, and the water was perfect, and it was going great. And then some high school guys showed up. And the high school guys were so much bigger than Robert and his friends, that Robert and his friends just moved over kind of to the other end of the pond and let the high school guys play, and they were a lot of bragging about how strong they were and how fast they could swim and how far they could swim, and one of them dared the other one to swim across the pond and back, and there was a lot of yelling and "I dare you" and "Oh yeah," and "like your mother wears army boots" kind of stuff coming from the high school kids. And so all the high school kids said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to race across the pond and back again." And so there was a lot of splashing and some swimming, and they made it to the other side of the pond and came back again. And Devon, the oldest one, he won. But they said, "Hey, that's not fair. You're on the swim team." And they were still arguing with each other, and they got in their car, and they left. And so Robert and his friends went back to the best part of the pond, and they started goofing around again. But Robert was thinking. He was thinking, "What if I could show the other boys how tough I am? What if I could swim to the other side of the pond and back again? Then they would realize how tough I am." And so that's what, without saying a word to his other friends, Robert started swimming to the other side of the pond. He got to the other side of the pond, and he was a little tired, but he thought he was going to be okay. And then he started swimming back. And about halfway across, he was exhausted. He had never been that tired before. And he just couldn't keep swimming. And he just started going under. And he thought, "Oh no, I'm going to die. I'm going to die." And with all the strength he could conjure up, he pushed him up to the surface again, and he yelled out, "Help!" and went back under. And his friend Billy heard him. And Billy came swimming over. Billy came over, and he grabbed Robert, and he pulled Robert out of the pond onto the shore. And Robert was just so happy to be alive. He tried not to cry because the other boys were there, but he cried just a little bit. And he probably laid on the beach maybe 15 minutes. He was just so exhausted. And he finally got up enough strength. He walked over to his friend Billy and hugged him and said, "Thank you. Thank you. You saved my life." And he said, I want to throw you a big party to thank him." And he went home, and Robert talked to his parents, and he said, told them everything that happened. And he said, "I want to throw Billy a big party." And he said, "So what I'm going to do, I have enough money from mowing yards that I can afford some decorations and a cake." And his parents said, "Well, you can have it in the garage. We can open up the garage and you can have all your friends there." But Robert had one more thing he wanted to do. He knew what Billy's favorite candy bar was. And he wanted to get him a whole big box full of candy bars. And so he thought, "What am I going to do? I don't have enough money for that. It'll take me all summer to get enough money to buy a big box of candy bars." So he went down to Mr. Clark's candy store, and he explained to Mr. Wilson's candy store, and he explained to him what Billy had done and how he wanted to honor Billy with a party. But he said, "Now, this is how much money I make a week mowing yards. And if I pick up a couple more yards by the end of the summer, I'll have enough money by the end of the summer to pay for that big box of candy bars." With all the courage he had, Robert said to Mr. Wilson, "If you let me have a big box of candy bars for Billy, then I'll pay you back by the end of the summer." That was a big ask. Robert had never asked anything like that before. Mr. Wilson put his head back and stroked his chin a little bit, and he said, "You're a good kid, Robert. I like your attitude about honoring your friend. So I'm going to give you that big box of candy bars, but you have to pay me back by the end of the summer. Agreed?" "Agreed," Robert shouted, and he ran out of the store so excited. The day of the party came, and all the friends were there, and they all sang, "For he's a jolly good fellow," and sang that, and they all gave Billy a standing ovation for what he had done in saving his friend from drowning. And then Robert reached behind and pulled out that big box of candy bars and gave it to Billy. And Billy was like, he'd never had that many candy bars before. And if you looked carefully, you could see a little tiny tear in Billy's eyes. And he was so grateful. And the next day at church on Sunday, all the kids were talking about the party and about the big box of candy bars that Robert gave to Billy. And they said, "Oh, that was a great day." And it was. So on Monday, Robert started out to mow his yards. He had 4 yards to mow on Monday. And if he did a really good job on Mr. Hoover's yard, maybe his neighbor, Widow Smith, might pay him to do her yard too. So he wanted to do a good job, but right away there was a problem. The mower was running kind of funny, but Robert couldn't stop. "I have 4 yards to get done today," and so he just kept mowing and kept mowing. But before he finished the first yard, the mower just... it stopped. And he noticed, oh yeah, it's kind of smoking. And so he thought, well, I'll just let it cool for a minute and then I'll try to start it. And he pulled on and the rope wouldn't even budge. He knew that something was wrong. And so he went to the homeowner, Mrs. Williams, and he said, "I'm sorry, there's something wrong with my mower. I've got to take it home and fix it. And I'll be back and mow your yard." And she said, "Well, I'll pay you when you're done with it, because nobody wants a half-mowed yard." And so he took it home, and Robert didn't really know much about mechanics of lawnmowers, but he piddled around on it for a couple of hours until his dad came home from lunch. And he looked at it, and he said, "It's toast." Robert didn't know what he meant. He said, "What do you mean it's toast?" He said, "It won't run. It's broken. It's gone." He said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, it started acting up, but I just kept mowing." And he said, "Oh." He said, "It was low on oil. If you had stopped and put some oil in it, it would have been fine, but it's ruined." And then Robert protested, but Dad, you got to go buy another lawnmower, because I've got to pay Mr. Wilson back for the candy bars." He said, "Robert, we don't have enough money for a lawnmower." He said, "We're going to have to pay Tim to mow our yard until we can afford a lawnmower." Tim was his competitor. Robert felt terrible. Now his competitor was going to mow his own yard. He had to watch his competitor mow his yard. And he thought, "Oh, man, what am I going to do?" And so he hurried over to Mr. Wilson's candy store. And he got there. Mr. Wilson wasn't there. His wife was there. And so he explained to Mrs. Wilson, "Well, this happened, and this happened, and this happened." Mrs. Wilson simply said, "Robert, that's between you and my husband. He'll be here in the morning, and you can talk to him then." So Robert didn't sleep at all that night. He tossed and turned, and he goes, "I can't believe it. I've ruined my life. My whole life is over. What about, I'm a failure and I'm just a kid. I can't pay this money back. I don't know what I'm going to do." And he didn't sleep at all. And first thing in the morning, he went down to Mr. Wilson's candy store, and he saw Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson looked up over the top of his wire-rimmed glasses. Robert couldn't even look at him. He just shuffled in. His chin was quivering. Mr. Wilson, I'm so sorry.
the lawnmower's broken and I can't pay you back. And he started going on, but Mr. Wilson interrupted him. And he said, Robert, you don't have to pay me back. It's forgiven. He said, what do you mean? He said, I've forgiven your debt. You don't owe me anything. What? Robert started to cry for real. He was sobbing and sobbing. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. And when Robert left the candy store, he looked around and he thought, he'll duck into the restroom of the gas station next door and wipe his eyes, because nobody would respect him if they knew he was crying. And so he went in there and he dried his eyes, he washed his face, and he came out. And when he came out, he saw his competitor Tim filling up his gas tank at the gas station. And Robert shouted out, hey, Tim, where's my stick of Juicy Fruit gum? Tim was like, what? A couple of weeks ago, I gave you a stick of Juicy Fruit gum, and you said you were going to pay me back. Where's my stick of Juicy Fruit gum? And Tim said, well, Robert, I have braces now, so I don't chew gum, so I don't have any gum on me, but I'll get it to you by next week. Time out. What will Robert do? Will he forgive Tim? What will he do? What would you do in that situation? So, here's the rest of the story. Robert grabbed Tim by the shirt and slammed him against the gas pump. And he said, you give me that stick of gum back or else. He screamed at Tim. He kept yelling and yelling at Tim until Mr. Wilson showed up. Nobody has ever seen Mr. Wilson so angry. He said to Robert in a loud, stern voice, you bad kid, I forgave you for that big box of candy bars because you asked me to. So now you should have mercy on your friend Tim, just as he had mercy on you. Then Mr. Wilson said, Robert, you're going to work all summer cleaning floors at the cattle barn until you've paid me back for every single candy bar in that big box of candy bars. Why does that ending, why is it so shocking? I don't think any of you would have probably finished that story that way, would you? And Jesus told a story with a similar ending. Why is it so shocking? Because everyone would expect Robert to forgive Tim for a stick of Juicy Fruit gum, because Mr. Wilson forgave him for the big box of candy bars. See, here's the point. We forgive others because God has forgiven us for so much more. God has forgiven us for so much more. Let's stop right now, and I want all of you to count up all the sins you've ever committed in your life. Are you done yet? I don't know about you, but I would be here past midnight tonight. You know? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God has forgiven us for all that. God has forgiven me for all of that. God has forgiven you for all of that. And so the response is to forgive others. Jesus said at the end of that passage in verse 35, that's what my heavenly Father will do if you forgive, if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Jesus also said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your
Father will not forgive your sins. So, a little bit more about forgiveness. Forgiving people takes time. Forgiving people takes time. In the past, forgiving happens in the past. Past, I forgave them. I forgave them. In the past, when you forgive somebody, the problem is that it doesn't always stay in the past. It doesn't stay in the past because you keep remembering it. And so what do you have to do? You have to deal with it in the present and say, I'm forgiving them. Somebody did something to you, and you forgive them, and then you say, I forgave them, but in the present, I am forgiving them, and I keep forgiving them, and every time I think about it, I'm forgiving them, and I'm forgiving them, and I'm forgiving them, right? And then forgiveness is also in the future. Forgiving them is a commitment that I will continue to forgive them. Every time I remember that, I will continue to forgive, and I'm going to forgive, and if I remember that tomorrow, I'm going to forgive them again, and next week, I'm going to forgive them again, and next year, I'm going to keep on forgiving them no matter what happens. I'm just going to keep, and so it's past, present, and future. I'm going to keep forgiving them. There's a wonderful lady that lived during World War II in the Netherlands. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. Here's her family. And they were watchmakers. And what they did is when the Nazis were hunting down Jews, they would hide Jews in their house and save them from the Nazis and then help them get out of the country. And they did that for lots and lots of Jews. And then they were finally caught, and they were all put in a concentration camp. And Corrie's father and her sister, Betsy, died in the concentration camp. And Corrie got out because somebody made a mistake on a piece of paper. And they made a mark by her name that they weren't supposed to. And Corrie got out just weeks before everybody else her age was killed. And the guards in that concentration camp were terrible to those people. And after Corrie got out of the concentration camp and got home, do you know what happened? There was a knock on her door. You know who it was? One of the guards that had been terrible to her and her sister. And he was poor, and he was hungry, and he needed food. How could she forgive someone who had done that to her? This next slide shows a picture of Corrie. Corrie wrote this about forgiveness. God helped her forgive, and she served the people that were cruel to her. She wrote this, forgiveness, it is like letting go of a bell rope. If you've ever seen a country church with a bell in the steeple, you'll remember you get the bell ringing, you have to tug a while. And once it's begun to ring, you merely maintain the momentum. As long as you keep pulling, the bell keeps ringing. Forgiveness is letting go of the rope. It's just that simple. But when you do, the bell keeps ringing. Momentum is still at work. However, if you keep your hands off the rope, the bell will begin to slow and eventually stop. And so if we have an issue with forgiving others, let go of the rope. Let go of that rope. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray. And with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I want you to simply ask God, is there somebody I need to forgive? And just let go of that rope. And if there's more than one people, just let go of all those ropes and say, God, I forgive them. I forgive them, and I will continue to forgive them. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that your great mercy, in your great mercy, you have forgiven us. Help us to learn from you, to be like you, to forgive others the way we've been forgiven. To stop ringing the bell of revenge and retribution. To stop fantasizing about what it'll look like and feel like to get revenge. But to simply let go of that rope and set a prisoner free and realize that prisoner was us. Thank you for incredible love and incredible mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.